Hey guys, today I wanted to talk to you guys about positive parenting tips on getting through to your teens. So, oh my gosh. Jeez Louise. Parenting a teen is not easy. It is extremely difficult sometimes. You know, because I think they're just getting the gist of their independence. And not only that, but understanding that their reproductive system is completely developed. You know, for a girl. You know, for a guy, yes, his reproductive system is also developed, but for a girl, OMG. This is why girls are so dramatic. This is why it goes down in the girls' locker room, because estrogen is pumping. Do you understand? Like, yeah. That's what the cycle is. Estrogen, that's what the monthly cycle is. Estrogen is pumping. And I mean, it is pumping. Okay? And so, that's what I want to talk to you guys about today. In a lot of the issues that I've had with my teen, I wouldn't want anyone. I wouldn't want my worst enemy to have these issues. These, OMG. Oh my God, help, right? So, the first thing I want to talk to you guys today about was communication and understanding. If your teen is the oldest in the house, we need to understand that there has been trauma. I don't care who you are. The first one always gets it the worst. Because we're super inexperienced. We don't know what we're doing. We don't know what we're doing. And we can't help that. Because a lot of the times, if you've had your first child before the age of, I would say, 25, 26, maybe even 27, your brain wasn't fully developed. So, you were really, like, all odds were really against you. And then, if you didn't have an active grandparent, odds were really against you. Because the grandparent is the one who gives all of the nurturing, you know? When mom does go back to work. And if the father wasn't involved, then triple whammy. Right? Because now, here's this child who doesn't have a caregiver that's connected to the child. You know, I wouldn't say, you know, a caregiver that doesn't love or care for the child, but a caregiver that isn't connected to the child, right? And a lot of the times when they're growing up, especially if the caregiver comes in after the child is, you know, not such a baby anymore, there's no connection, right? Because the connection happens when a child is a baby. So, with my oldest daughter, with my teen, she had a lot of issues with me never being there. And that sucks. That sucks for a teen, because especially going into their teen years, believing that mom never loved them, it's hard, right? How, and I grew up in a household where I'm not your friend, I'm your mama, right? And that is not biblically sound, because if there's scripture that talks about him being our heavenly father, and then it says that he no longer considers us slaves but friends, then who are you to tell me you're not my friend? Obviously, you're the enemy. If you're not my friend, think about it. What message are you relaying to your team? Communication is key, and taking care of the way that you're communicating with your team is everything. Because if you're not communicating a bond, what you're doing is you're communicating, I want you out of my house, and the baby's 3 years old. I'm not your friend, I'm your mama. So you mean to tell me that, especially if you guys bounce around, you mean to tell me that you haven't stayed in a stable place long enough to give this child stability to build friendships? Because friendships aren't built overnight. Let's just be real, right? Friendships take time. And if that's the case, then how are you preparing your teen to be able to fortify friendships, and you won't even be her friend? How are you reeling your child in to come and tell you things that are happening at school if you're not her friend? You're not her friend. You're the enemy. Oh, guys, I had such a hard time with this. You know, a child is to be seen and not heard. A child is to speak when spoken to. You're not raising a child. You're raising a slave. I'm sorry. And I remember my grandma once told my mom, you know, girl, for every one word you have, she has five. And my mom and I used to have these really elaborate conversations. You know, this is why this is this, and this is why this is that. But what my grandma did was, in her very old school way of thinking, right? And unfortunately, this happens a lot in Black families. So with her old school way of thinking, she came and she told my mom, yeah, you shouldn't be having a conversation with her. It shouldn't even be a conversation. She needs to do as you say and shut up. That's not a friendship, nor is it a relationship, right? Think of how Abraham talked to God, right? Think of how Abraham talked to God and how he, and the way intercession goes. Intercession isn't a one-step thing. And Abraham showed us that, right? Because when he went to intercede for Sodom and Gomorrah, he contested for them at least, I don't remember, it was like 3 or 4 times. Yeah, but Lord, if you find so many worthy, will you destroy the land? And God went back in conversation. I no longer consider you slaves, but friends. In conversation. Yeah, but, you know, yes, if I find that many worthy, I won't destroy. And then Abraham goes back. Yeah, but Lord, if you find so many, will you destroy it? And then God comes back and says, no, Abraham, if I find so many, I won't destroy it. And then Abraham goes back, and he kept going back, and he kept going back. So he was questioning God. Because think about it, what he was doing was asking him questions. So what was he doing? He was questioning God. Your children are well in the right to question what you're doing and to ask you what you're doing. Because if you don't communicate with them, this is why I'm doing this, and this is what I'm doing, and this is why I'm doing it, you're not communicating with them the rules. You're not communicating with them what needs to be done. You're not communicating with them growth, right? So open communication is huge. It's a big thing because it leads to understanding. And when you have understanding, you have love. That's Bible. That's scripture. Okay? So this is big, guys. I don't want to overpass this one point as if it's not as big as it is, because it is. You know, your children need to feel safe at home, and they need to be able to ask questions, and they need to be able to speak. Don't raise your babies up like a slave. Because let me tell you what ends up happening when you do, right? Because that's how I raised my oldest daughter. A child is to speak when spoken to. A child is to be seen and not heard. Get those slave sayings out of your mind, because your wealth is your children. When you get old and wrinkly, listen, once an adult, twice a child. If you didn't have a caregiver growing up that was loving and affectionate, raise a caregiver for your old age to be affectionate and loving. It's important. This is the child that you're raising to take care of you and take care of your grandbabies. I can't stress this enough, guys. I made my daughter sick with this kind of mentality. I made her sick, suicidal, to the point where she did not want to be home for 4 years. And she had rather cut instead of being home. Do y'all feel me? And then one day she finally came out and said, "Mom, you never loved me. You never ever cared. I had a talent show once," she told me. "I had a talent show during her year of healing," because she had a year of rapid growth. And during this period, she came out and said, "Mom, you never loved me. I had a talent show and you didn't come. You didn't come to my talent show." And I said, "What talent show?" She was like, "I had a talent show in first grade." And then I was like, I don't remember that. And she's like, "I told Daddy." Now, this is a time where I was going through a divorce. And I was like, "Your dad never told me about a talent show." And then she stayed quiet. She's like, "You didn't know?" I was like, "No." And then she goes, "You know, when I came up on the talent show, I really hoped that you guys were going to come. And when I came on the stage, I looked for you in the crowd, and I ran off the stage when I didn't see you, and I cried myself to sleep that night. And I believed that you guys didn't love me." This was in first grade. This child, guys, think about it. This is first grade. This is 6, 7 years old. She didn't come out with this information until she was 13 years old, because she was raised in a household where a child is to be seen and not heard. And I mean extreme suicidal thoughts. I mean extreme suicidal attempts. Guys, this way of thinking, this way of parenting is not it. And if you are parenting this way, you got to get away from it, because you're raising a suicidal case. You're raising an anger case. This child will grow up and be in the system. This child will grow up and be in psychiatric hospitals. It will make your child sick, because we all need a friend. Why do you think Christ died? Think about it. Why do you think he died? Because it wasn't until the new Genesis where he came out and said, "I no longer consider you slaves, but friends. I'm giving you the secrets of the kingdom." How will your child ever be able to open doors if you don't give them the secrets of the kingdom? And the Bible calls the secrets of the kingdom the keys of the kingdom. How will your child ever be able to open doors? Your child will always be stuck in the same place, in a place of poverty. And then you will teach your grandchildren that inevitably. Your grandchildren won't know what to do. And generational curses and wealth happens through children. So, I tell you this from a place of extreme pain, from a place of 4 years of hospitalizations, running to the hospital on a weekly basis. At one point, my daughter went to the hospital every week for 6 months. Because of the way that the laws are set up in Florida. They're not set up to help children with psychiatric needs. It's bad. Okay? So, definitely communicate. Definitely foster an open relationship with your teens. Definitely love them furiously and go after them, because communication is what makes you human. Listen, for those of you in the back that didn't get it, communication makes you human. And I wouldn't want y'all to go through the pain that I went through with my child. If I'm talking to you and your child is still in the, you know, elementary school age, go after your kids. Like, it's a romance. Your relationship with your children should be romantic. It should be, man, what can I buy to make them feel special? What can I say to make them feel special? What can I do to make them feel special? It should always be in the honeymoon stage. That relationship with your children, that is the one who's going to love you when you're old. Who's going to change your pamper? I'm telling you, you want to be thrown into a nursing home? I heard stories about the nursing homes. You better stay away from them. I'm telling y'all. Love your kids. Like, it's nobody's business. What? You want to go out and you don't want to bring my kids? I can't be your friend. How can I incorporate our friendship into the friendship I have with my best friends? If you don't want them around, I don't want you around. If I have to pick somebody, it's going to be my kids. If I have to put my kids in danger to hang out with you, I don't want to. You're not my friend. And if you don't want what's best for my kids, you definitely are not my friend. Definitely, you are not my friend. And I can't be seen with the likes of you. It's important. My kids are everything. Listen, and if you don't protect these friendships with your kids, you're going to pay for them. Financially, you're going to pay for them. You know, taking off of work to go, you know, deal with their misbehaviors. Can I tell y'all something? This happens when you're not your kids' friends. And it is costly. So, moving on. The next thing I want to talk about is respect their independence. Part of their reproductive system being fully developed, these guys, they are ready. Do you understand that their body is ready to have sex? Their mind is ready. Sorry, I take that back, because no, their mind is not ready. Their body is ready, but their mind hasn't caught up. And that is where we get scared. But don't smother your kids, okay? Something I did for my teen, and you can think whatever you want to, but I have to tell you, you have to protect your household. The scripture says that he who does not provide for the members of his household is worse than an unbeliever. And we have to think what the unbelieving spirit is. Think about it. That lady that came to Christ and said, you know, Lord, heal my daughter. And he didn't answer. Some scriptures say he ignored her. But he didn't answer at first. And then the Bible says that she began to worship him. So she asked him again, and the Bible calls that worship. That's another topic for another time, but hey, throwing that in there. Now, she began to worship him, and she said, Lord, please heal my daughter. And Jesus turned around to her, and he was like, it's not right for me to take the food out of the children of the mouth of Israel and give it to the little dogs. People say that he wasn't calling her a dog. Guys, he was calling her a dog. Okay? In Revelation, it says that whoremongers, that word is so funny, whoremongers, idolaters, adulterers, liars, they don't make it into heaven. Okay? Along with dogs. Why? Because it is giving you the description of this spirit. Spirits are animals. Period. Okay? In the beginning of time, when it says that, and God created the fowls of the air after their kind, and God created the creatures of the land after their kind, and God created the creatures of the sea after their kind. Now, what is he saying? That the seen is made from the unseen scripture, right? So now we fast forward to the second Genesis, Matthew, and Jesus is telling the disciples. The disciples were flustered because they couldn't cast the evil spirit off of the child. And they were like, Lord, why couldn't we deliver this child? And Jesus says, because this kind can only be cast out through prayer and fasting. What did Jesus tell them? That this animal spirit could only be cast out through prayer and fasting. So what this, the unbelieving spirit is the dog. Why do you think that's all we see now? And people have them as pets. Oh, my God. People have them as pets. And if you have one in your house, you're having a hard time with your team, I suggest you take the dog out. And this is not, I'm not an animal hater. That's not what I'm saying. Because you have to understand, I grew up with a mini zoo in my house. We bred snakes. We had 16 snakes growing up. An Australian blue-tongued skink. Two Rottweilers that I loved. I loved Thor and Blossom. I'm sorry. I loved my dogs. And we had a rescue cat who we named Tigger, who used to open up doors and flush toilets. Okay? Like, we thought Tigger was half human. We thought Tigger, but he used to run into everything. Doors, a coffee table. Tigger had unbalanced whiskers. So he just, a mini case of vertigo. You understand what I'm saying? So I loved my animals, but growing up and fasting, the price I had to pay to understand what I understand now has extremely hurt. And the only reason why I'm coming to you with it is because I want you guys to be prepared, and I want you guys to be fully equipped with the truth. It is what it is. Think about it. It is what it is. So respecting their independence, you will have to make sure that you respect what they're going through, okay? You respect what's happening. And the Bible also says that a man's enemies will be the members of his own household. Whenever I see my kids getting ready to fight with me, I'll look. What I do, the way that I look into the spirit realm, okay? And listen, the mind is the spirit. All you're doing is looking into your memory. We don't have to, you know, let's demystify the whole equation, right? Simple math, 1 + 1. So, the way we look into the spirit realm is by looking into your memory, okay? If you need to close your eyes and look, this is what I do. If I want to look into the spirit realm and see what's happening in my kid's spirit, with my anybody, my boss, whatever, what I'll do is I'll close my eyes and I will remember the place where I actively am in at the moment. And I'll see whatever's around. If I see a dog, I already know that it has to do with unbelieving. But this, that's the beast of hell. The Bible says it. This is not, you know, and those who worship its image, oh, Now we're talking about the beast of hell. Think of all the things that the Bible said about the beast of hell. Okay? So, and worshiping means believing, means having faith in. To have faith means to believe in that thing. Okay? And we're casting down imaginations that raise themselves above the knowledge of God, and we're taking every thought captive to obey Christ. And that's obeying truth, obeying peace, obeying joy. My God. So, respect their independence and pray for them. Pray for them actively. The Bible says pray without ceasing. Okay? And prayer is looking into the spirit realm once in a while. Girl, like, I'm telling you, this is important. Next one I want to talk about is setting clear expectations. Listen, on the weekends, and talking, communication is key. Talking, telling them, hey, we can't go out every weekend. You know, I'm trying to build something for us. I'm trying to work my little butt off. My 9-to-5 is taking care of the bills. The extra that I put is the icing on the cake. The 9-to-5 is only baking the cake. I need to put the icing on the cake. I want to take amazing vacations, and I'm not going to be able to do it on the salary. You understand what I'm saying? And I want to take more than one vacation aside from taxes. You get what I'm saying? Like, this is important, setting clear expectations. My daughter had this belief that she couldn't make friends outside of the hospital. So she kept going back to the hospital when she needed a friend. Why was that? Because I refused to be her friend at home. When God showed me this, it was in one of my, it was in a poverty fast that I did. I was fasting from the spirit of poverty. And really, I didn't know this at the time, but what I was fasting from was from the mindset of poverty. And once this clicked for me, I was like, what? My kids are my wealth? Say no more. So set those clear expectations. Listen, I can't go out with you every weekend. I cannot buy Chinese food for you because you're in the hospital and I feel bad. I can't guilt parent. Guys, Chinese food is $50 a pop. How are we going to be saving money for the house, to buy the house, if all we're doing is buying, you know, $50 Chinese food every week? You know what? I need to have a budget for just you. And my budget for the hospital to go out to eat, because it's the only thing that we could really do together, right? But it isn't. We gotta, you know, lie bust. So setting those clear expectations. You know, my daughter loved peanut butter and jellies. Great! Because that's the budget we're on, honey. Okay? And Chinese food. Out the window. Go buy a pack of meat. It's $10. And food stamp will cover it. Food stamp does not cover Chinese food. Okay? That's all I'm saying. Because, listen, check out Single Moms on a Budget. How to manage your finances as a single mom. I'm just saying. Also, the next point that I want to bring up is be a role model. If you don't want your teen to smoke, don't smoke. If you don't want your teen to drink, don't drink. Because Einstein said the best example is setting an example, is your actions. The best example is your actions. So how is your teen going to know not to smoke and drink if you don't smoke and drink? How is your teen going to know not to wear poom poom shorts? You are wearing poom poom shorts. How is your teen going to know that she shouldn't be sleeping around with different men if that's what you are showing her? Every time you get a chance, you're showing her a new relationship. We can't do that. So if the way that we correct our teens' actions is by showing them the rules. Don't tell them the rules. Show them the rules. Them. Muscle memory is key too, because what you're doing is you're training a child. Train a child. Raise a child in the way that they should go and they will not depart. And that's scripture. So the next point I want to bring up is encourage responsibility. we want to encourage positive parenting, right? So encouraging responsibility, this needs to be silent. And what I noticed for my kids is that if I had a sticker chart, as stupid as this may sound, right? Don't think it's stupid. Because we're loving our kids like they are toddlers. Those are our babies. I wouldn't care if my daughter is 13, 15, 17, 29. That's my baby. I will raise them. I will nurture them. I will love them. I will go through hail and high water to make sure that my child knows that I love them, right? And loving is peaceful. Love is peace. Love is quiet. It really is. Love is through action. And so I want to make sure that, listen, the brain has this mirror neuron effect. And whatever your child sees you do is what they will do. The brain is that way. You don't have to scream, you know, or raise any type of cane. Just love them through action, okay? And encouraging responsibility would be you going to school. It's a tax write-off. Guys, did you know that? It's a tax write-off. At least take one class a year. And that's an extra tax write-off that you're getting in your pocket. So if you want to show your kids school is important, show them it's important. Don't just tell them. Is it important to you? Are you taking extra classes? You take extracurricular activities, you know? The next one I want to talk about is get comfortable with the sex talk. Guys, get comfortable with that sex talk. You will need to talk sex with them so comfortably to the point where they come to you and tell you all kinds of crazy stuff. Don't be so uncomfortable. Don't be that uptight mom. It's not going to help you, because when your teen needs help navigating what's happening with them and their bodies and the things that are, one time my daughter came up to me and said, "Oh, you know, I don't really like him. He's a boy toy." And then she goes, "You know, he's just, you know, someone that I'm playing around with. I don't really like him. But he keeps coming and slapping my butt. The real person I want, the real boy I want is so-and-so." And she goes, "I prefer my boyfriend." And then she named his name. And I was like, uh-oh. No, 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 no. That's not what we do, boo. Mm-mm. But I came at her from a place of friendship, not from a mom. "How dare you, you whore." I didn't say that. And I wasn't going, you know, to say that, because what's important is that I was there for her. They need to be there for her in a way where I can influence her decisions and what she does, especially with boys, because we're not girls of many boys. You understand what I'm saying? Like, you don't ruin your reputation. So I had that conversation with her. You don't want this boy doing that. Don't say you don't care, because what you're giving this boy who you don't care about really belongs to the person that you really like. And this boy lives in your town. You're going to ruin your reputation. And he's not, if he's doing that to you and then he's also flirting with many girls, that's not the guy for you. You don't want this guy. And you have to protect, girl, protect your reputation above all else. What if word gets around to the boy you really like? and the boy that you consider your boyfriend and the boy that you really want to be with. And if it ruins it with him, then you're not going to have the guy that treats you good. You're going to have the guy that treats you bad. He's going to ruin everything. So you have to put guys like this in their place, like, pronto. First thing in the morning. You understand what I'm saying? Like, got to go. No. I remember when I was little, this boy did that to me. He touched me on my butt and I punched him in the nose. Sorry, not sorry. And so by the end of the conversation, when I finished telling my daughter, you know, we don't do that, because then we'll lose out on the guy who's going to be the good guy to us. We'll lose out on the guy who we really like. She was so receptive. So, all right, Ma. Thank you. I love you. And I could tell that the conversation took a turn. I didn't call her a whore. I pushed it off on the boy and I told her straight up, no, that's not what we do. We're not going to do that. We have to be wholesome, because if we're spread out among many guys, the one we really want, we're not one for him. We're bits and pieces for him. So no, that's not what we do. We don't sleep around. We don't, you know, and in teen years, you know, letting a boy that's not your boyfriend touch your butt, that, you know, you got to punch him in the face. You got to do what you got to do. Hey, I don't want to encourage violence, but I'm just saying, like, no, you don't get to do that. And you really got to put your foot down, especially with some guys, because some guys are, you know, get a little titty when they see a pretty girl. So, moving on. The next thing I want to talk to you guys about is be patient and empathetic. Be patient. Let your kids make mistakes. Mistakes need to be made to program their bodies. There's nothing better. There's no other better way to teach your children responsibility and integrity than with mistakes. Because mistakes are our best teachers. They really program, I better not do that again, in our muscles, in our bodies. Okay? So, be patient. And here's another thing, right? Stop yelling at your kids for making a mess. If you want to help them, if you want them to clean, so what if you didn't do it? Remember, you're teaching this child how to treat your grandbabies and how to treat you when you're older. What if they say to you, and you, they really cannot, you really cannot get up out of bed as an old lady and start cleaning after yourself? What if they come to your house or your room or whatever and say, clean up this mess, the way that you're doing to them, and your body really isn't able anymore? They're in training. They're adults in training. So you have to train them. Okay, baby, come on. Let's clean up. And then start helping them. Clean up. Everybody everywhere. You know what I'm saying? So get down and dirty with your kids. Let's clean up. Come on, baby. Let's start cleaning up. Mommy will help you. You know? And do this with your teens. Treat the babies as long as possible. Treat them with that love and affection, and nurture them as long as possible. Guys, you are the nurturer. That never stops. Okay? So be patient and think of the upside. I remember one time it hit me, and I was upset that my 7-year-old was making a big mess. Now, I went through a custody battle. I didn't have my son. Years, I didn't see him, I didn't smell him, touch him, love him, nothing. For 2 years, all we did was video chats, because the custody battle got really nasty. And after I got sick, when I left him with his father took advantage and refused to give me my son back, and then pushed for supervised visitations because he was so afraid. Every blessing hurts. Understand that. Because it's a setup for you to get what you should get. And when this happened, I didn't see my son. And then my daughter was in the hospital, in and out of the hospital for 4 years. So all I had was my middle child. And she would make these messes and do and just be all over the place as a 7-year-old should. And one day I got frustrated that she kept making a mess, and a thought just dropped. And remember, spirits are thoughts. So I cast down imaginations that raise themselves above the knowledge of God, and I take every thought captive to obey Christ. That word "and" conjoins imaginations and thoughts. Spirits are thoughts. So the thought came in and it said, what would you trade to clean up your son's mess? What would you trade to clean up your teen's mess? That hit home. That hit home. And suddenly the mess, I was grateful for the mess. Suddenly I was grateful that my 7-year-old was able with me, and I was able to clean after her. I suddenly had this love for the mess. Suddenly. And so that goes to say, be patient, okay? Be patient and love your kids with empathy. So next thing is, set aside quality time no matter what. Every day you have to spend quality time. You have to play with your kids every day. You have to show face. You have to show that they matter. You have to show them that they're important. You have to show them that no one else in this world matters more than them. Not no Facebook, not no Instagram. You cannot be on TikTok instead of playing, spending time with your children. That time is for when they're sleeping. If you fortify your kids when they're awake, they'll be able to sleep and leave you alone so that you could have mommy time. But mommy time is not spent when they're awake. It's not. If you don't have support, spend mommy time when they're sleeping. Just put them to sleep with lots of love and care, and then spend mommy time. You know, your teens will be able to come home and tell you everything if you do this. Laugh at what they laugh at. Joke at what they learn, the trending lingo. Like, I'm telling you, all that really, really matters for a teen, because teens feel misunderstood. But you have to show them that they are understood. And the only way you're going to be able to do this is through quality time. With my teen, I had to do mommy-daughter dates and leave my youngest child with a babysitter. Like, it had to be done. Do what has to be done for this child. You don't want this child to get out of your grasp. And your grasp cannot be a chokehold. Your grasp has to be a hug. So, and you guys, I'm talking to you guys the things that I learned the really, really hard way. I don't want you guys to go through years and hospital visits and people accusing you of not being a good parent, because you are a good parent. You're doing a great job. The fact that you haven't given up on your kids is amazing. Go after those babies. You are worth it. You are worth it. You were worth it when you were little. If you don't come from a loving and nurturing home, a loving and nurturing home has to come from you. It has to. So the next thing I want to talk about is encourage healthy habits. Tell them the dangers of what'll happen, but do it in a funny way, right? Do it in a way where it will, it's uplifting. Oh, you're nasty. Blah, 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 blah. Come on, guys. Oh, you peed on your bed, you piss body. Ugh. You have to be careful the way you're talking to your kids. You really, really have to encourage. First of all, listen to the word encourage. Calling someone a piss body is not encouraging. To calling someone a yuck mouth is not encouraging. We have to stay away from calling our kids names, from cursing at our kids. You blah, 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 blah. I told you a million mother baba be da baba da da baba times that this is what you need to do. That's not cool, guys. That is not cool. That is horrendous. That is absolutely awful. So, encourage healthy habits by that sticker chart. Oh my gosh. The sticker chart is everything, because then you'll teach them how positivity earns. I strongly encourage allowances. I'm not gonna pay you for what you're supposed to be doing. Get that mindset out. Like, you have to cast that imagination down in obedience to Christ. Like, to the truth, to love, to nurturing, to joy, to peace. So, now, encouraging the healthy habits that you want to see. Praising the good. And then being silent on the bad and figuring out how to come at your child with respect. Because remember, this is a romantic relationship. If you're not going to come at your spouse screaming and yelling because you know they're just going to leave you if you do, then do your children the same way, right? So, last but not least, seek support when needed. This is important. Listen, moms, if you see that you are extra crabby when your time of the month comes, I'm gonna need you to go and get a birth control prescription, okay? Go and get a, there is a birth control that is super duper awesome for PMS. And PMS is a thing. This is not some, you know, thing that is fictional. It is real. And, you know, when your cycle comes, there are a lot of hormones. It's an estrogen release. And it will drive you insane. It will make you emotional. It will, especially if pain. Like, pain makes you emotional. Pain makes you crabby. Okay? Those sudden urges for needing chocolate and needing, you know, ice cream all the time. And then what that'll do is it will only cause you to be even more depressed during your cycle. Go get birth control. Get those hormones under control, because you will cause your entire to be on edge with you, and you really need to seek support in this for you know, to be able to implement positive parenting. Seeking support would also look like you know, hiring a babysitter every once in a while for your littles, so you can go and spend time with oldest, with your teen. That teen is really, really going to need it, you know, because it's a lot of confusing things. And you want, who do you want your teen to take advice from? Another teen who does not have their life together, or you? Just saying, you know. So seek support in that aspect. Another thing too is, if you come from a broken home, we need to do therapy. Look for therapy. You listen, say you don't have time, look for the time. You need therapy, and you need somebody to talk to. You can't regurgitate all of your problems to everybody that comes around. That's not healthy. And everybody, the Bible says that a woman with discretion, without discretion, is like a pig. I'm pretty sure that's what it says, or maybe I'm paraphrasing, but a woman needs to have discretion. This is important. Seek support. Make sure your finances, guys, that finance piece, I'll link the show, you know, how to manage your finances as a single mom, because that is real. Like, that seeking support, everything that seeking support has to do with managing your finances as a single mom. So I really do encourage you to go check that show out. I'll link it below. And most importantly, seeking support doesn't always look like, you know, therapy. This is gonna sound funny, but hear me out. Therapy, you know, and all those things that I named previous. But seeking support also looks like seeking support from material things. Seeking support from software, right? I realized that my business was not going to be able to thrive without Metricool. Metricool was a really is a really amazing platform that I'm able to advertise everything on, and I had to do all of my advertising in one day, and I think I paid $100 for the platform. I seek support. So that's not a human that I had to hire. So I bought a software to do it for me, right? Buying paper plates, right? So you don't have to do all of the dishes, and you're not screaming at your kids to do them. Your kids are not dishwashers, right? We're not encouraging, you know, dishwasher mentality. Oh, this is what you can do for, no. We're not encouraging that. We're encouraging higher thinking. So, also, seeking support may look like, you know, what else can you buy in your home to make sure that you're fortified at home? Seeking support could look like a trampoline outside. Seeking support can look like a washer machine. There are portable washer machines. You can buy a portable washer machine and be doing laundry from home instead of going to the laundromat. Seeking support looks like many, many different things. And I want to encourage you to love your babies. What can you do in this moment, in this instant, to put them first? Well, guys, that's all the time I have for today. You are doing an amazing job. You are the best mom. And I want you to be encouraged. I want you to be encouraged because the fact that you made it to this part of the podcast, you're doing amazing. You're doing a beautiful job. And you should be celebrated for that. And I want to celebrate you because it is hard being a mom. The fact that you're looking for answers to better parent your teen, you're doing a beautiful job. So, keep up the good work, mom. Till next time, guys.